Thank you very much, Chair. First, we appreciate how difficult it is for Ireland to strike the right balance in Section 3 with so many competing views attempting to achieve the goal of protecting civilian persons and objects. As we have already indicated, we will provide written comments following this meeting. We have also already expressed our concern regarding the term reverberating effects used in paragraph 3.4, which is not defined in international law. Therefore, in this intervention, we will focus our comments on paragraphs 3.3 and 3.6. On 3.3, although a political declaration does not carry the binding force of law, any policy it creates that extends beyond what is required by existing IHL would have the effect of creating different objective standards for parties and non-parties to such a declaration. The armed conflict in Ukraine is just one prominent example demonstrating that military necessity may well dictate the employment of means and methods of warfare that include explosive weapons in populated areas, and a presumption against their use would unnecessarily tie the hands of armed forces that are committed to fighting by the rules. Allowing a state that routinely violates IHL to stigmatize another state for the lawful use of such weapons in its defense might serve to undermine the intent of the declaration. It would also allow the possibility to create a false equivalency between parties to armed conflict and make every effort to comprehensively integrate IHL into their military decision-making process, and those that routinely violate the law because they lack the willingness to comply in the first instance. Creating a presumption of non-use of explosive weapons in populated areas does not give due regard to the existing precautions that IHL already articulates, the obligation to take constant care to spare the civilian population, civilians and civilian objects, and the requirement to take all feasible precautions to avoid, and in any event to minimize, incidental loss of civilian life, injury to civilians, damage to civilian objects, or a combination thereof. Along similar lines, in the second half of 3.3, the reference to effects that, quote, may be expected to extend beyond a military objective, close quote, is vague and unknown to IHL. We strongly recommend employing the terminology of AP1 accurately. Given our stance that this declaration should accurately reflect IHL, 3.6 is extremely important. As the ICRC has acknowledged, if properly interpreted and applied, IHL offers strong protection to civilians. We have, on one hand, a horrifying number of civilian casualties and moonscapes resulting from certain prominent armed conflicts. If we look closely at the wreckage of those cities and the means and methods employed, it is clear that those parties are not abiding by the fundamentals of IHL governing the conduct of hostilities. This may be a question of willingness to implement or a question of inability to do so effectively, but either way, IHL is the universally agreed standard that is not being attained. The ICRC has produced an extensively researched study called The Roots of Restraint in War, which reaffirms that the behavior of armed forces is dependent on the orders they receive, the training alone that they receive is insufficient. And IHL needs to be integrated into the policy, doctrine, education, training, military decision-making, and disciplinary systems of armed forces in order to reflect compliance. The law, it affirms, is only as strong as the willingness of parties to carry out that process of integration. There is no credible evidence that IHL, when interpreted in good faith and integrated thoroughly into operational practice, is in any way insufficient to address the preponderance of humanitarian concerns tragically observed in modern armed conflict. What this declaration may strongly support through paragraph 3.6 is a detailed and effective integration of IHL into military practice. That would be a major added value of this policy statement. In summary, Canada does not support the creation of a new standard regarding the use of weapons. The underlying problem is not a lack of good law, but a lack of good implementation. We will endorse a text that adequately reflects these central concerns. And we thank you very much, Mr. Chair.